Okay, so he says our authors support the principle of the primacy of the intellect, right? And he says this does not mean that the intellect is more excellent than God, whom the intellect discovers. Rather, the primacy of intellect means that we must think about God before we can actually know him. And thus, he tells us, when Van Til speaks of a primacy of the intellect based on the creator-creature distinction, he seems to be talking nonsense to these, the classical Ligonier approach from their perspective.
But here, as with starting point, some distinctions must be made. Intellect or reason can mean various things, laws of logic, the psychological faculty by which we make judgments and draw inferences, the judgments and inferences themselves, systems of thought. So again, I kind of hit with this well, because when we talk about Austrian economics in my circles, we talk about people having praxeology or forethought of decision. And so it's like, oh, well, you know, people make always make logical decisions. It's like, no, it's not that people make the psychological logic decision, it that they make rational decisions based on their desires, which could be wrong, which could be ill-informed or wrong. So, I know all red cars have better gas mileage, so I go to the dealership, I'm only going to be looking at red cars. And so that's where I'm going to put my money into, because subjectively, I value red cars more than I do the money that's in my bank account, because I want the better gas mileage. Just because it's not a good starting point doesn't mean I'm not logically thinking it through. And so this has that kind of same type of flair to it as well, of making sure we're talking about intellect or reason. Well, it is certainly true that reason as a psychological faculty is involved in any rational activity, thus putting it tautologically emphasizes the obviousness of the point. It is the same sort of obviousness we saw earlier in the proposition that one must start with self. But just as starting with self leaves open the question of what criterion of truth the self should acknowledge, so starting with reason, right? So starting with reason, he's drawing the line here, leaves open the question of what criterion of truth human reason ought to recognize. So,
right. And so there's the issue of the criterion of truth, exactly, right? So he says, Van Til may and does grant that reason is involved in all human thought and life. But for him, the important question is, what criteria of truth, there it is, ought our reason to acknowledge? He says, reason is always involved in the human search for knowledge, but reason must always choose its standards, and that choice is fundamentally a religious choice, he tells us, right? And so our authors, he says, that is the Ligonier folks and classical apologetics, have therefore failed to show that Van Til abandons rational arguments and proofs and evidences. He does abandon neutral or autonomous reasoning, and that's all he abandons. And he notes in classical apologetics that he's not wrong in rejecting these things as they suggest he is.
Right, in the book. Yep. Well, it is quite impossible to argue for Christianity or anything else for that matter without making a presuppositional choice. One cannot reason without criteria of truth. So you kind of ask that same old question, by what standard? Well, where did reason come from? Well, it's just baked into the universe. And if I could scoop up a glass of ocean water, reason is there. And so I can't seem to measure it. I might not have the right tools, but it's either physically there or it's somehow in the ether. There's definitely no mind out there to think those things. There's no floating brain with a mind, but it exists, or it's just a convention of conversation that evolving bacteria that just is more multi-celled that we are seem to be bumping into each other, and we have the reasons for our reason just as a conventional thing, but it's not baked into the universe. So we just kind of have this false facade of thinking that reasoning is important. Or it comes from the mind who created the universe and instills within it, who has always existed, who still exists and exists outside the universe, but also does bake it into the universe because we are made in his image and we think after those things after God's thoughts. So those tend to be kind of the three main ones that you're going to deal with there. Well, to say this, to say that one cannot reason without criterion of truth, to say that is that argument for Christianity will always be, in one sense, circular. Arguments for Christianity must be based on Christian criteria, which in turn presupposes the truth of Christianity. It has to happen because, again, talk about this, it's the ultimate standard. Well, okay, but why do you believe that? Well, no, I can't give you a reason for why I believe that because that's my ultimate standard. If I go past that, then I'm saying that would be my ultimate standard. But I can't. You're asking me for a before zero mark, and I can't give that to you. I'm here. Here's my primary reason. You can't prove God without presupposing him. This is one of the principles of Vantillian apologetics that most irritate the authors of the book. To them, circular reasoning is a logical fallacy, pure and simple. There's nothing to debate about it. Circular reasoning, that's all you have to say, and move on from there. And unfortunately, since this book was written in 1984, that's only gotten more and more the case.
All right, so you scream circular reasoning, and then you can dismiss the rest of what it has to say.
Right.
And so Frame tells us, does this circularity entail the death of all reasoning as the Ligonier authors fear? And he doesn't think it does. Right? He says, first, all reasoning, Christian, non-Christian, presuppositional, classical, whatever, in this sense, is circular. There is no alternative. This is not a challenge to the validity of reason. It's simply the way in which reason works, right? How do you prove that, how do you justify reason? Where you justify it? By reason. Well, that's circular, right? How do you justify your sense experience? Well, you have to justify them by your sense experience. Well, that's circular, right? So that's just the nature of case with regard to some of these basic ideas. And so first he says all reasoning, right, is circular. Second, he says, there are distinctions to be made between narrow circles, something like the Bible is God's word because it says it's God's word. It's kind of a narrow circle, right, which we would suggest is probably at least bordering on a fallacy, right?
Right.
And broad circles, the ideas, for instance, evidence interpreted according to the Christian criteria demonstrates the divine authority of Scripture. And here is that evidence, Y and Z, right? He says, not every circular argument is equally desirable. Some circular arguments, indeed, he says, should rightly be dismissed as fallacious. Well, that's the second point. First, all reasoning is circular. Right? Secondly, there's different kinds of circles, right? Not big ones and little ones, right, but narrow ones, he said, and broad ones, right? Or virtuous circles and vicious circles, we might say. And then thirdly, he says, reasoning on Christian criteria is persuasive because, and he gives us three reasons why. First, it's persuasive because it's God's approved way to reason. Secondly, it's persuasive because it leads to the true conclusions, right, that God indeed exists and loves us and Savior and that kind of stuff. And thirdly, everyone at some level already knows that such reasoning leads to truth. And he references Romans chapter 1.
Yeah. Those are good reasons. Yes.
Yeah.